Well, good morning, and what a real privilege it is to me to be involved in this service of dedication as Hannah is brought by Simon and Rachel, and to be able to share a few words just now. And as I come, I note the commitments that we've made as we've stood together and we've said how we're going to support Simon and Rachel in that role, how we're going to be delighted to help look after Hannah and point her in the way to go. And so noting those commitments, this morning is not a sermon, not by any means, but it is mandatory training, training that we need to do to get us in the right place, to get our heads in the right spot. I hope this is a familiar scene to you, that scene of a parent standing and simply opening their arms. And what happens? The child comes running. The child knows that in those arms is found love and acceptance. And my goal this morning is to persuade you that God loves you just like that, and that he loves me just like that. Like that parent with the open arms who calls and we can come running. And that's our job, to be able to show that that love to Hannah is the love that her father has for her father God. Now I'm going to use as my source documents this morning Mark's and Luke's Gospels. And I haven't got time to tell you about the historical evidence for those, but if you would like to know it, go to our website, and on the 28th of January, there was a message then about the evidence for the Mark and Luke's Gospels, and I'd encourage you to listen to that if that brings questions for you. But we're going to look first this morning at a passage that Paul mentioned earlier on, which comes from Mark, and I'm reading from chapter 10. When people are bringing children to Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And so we see that Jesus wants to make sure that there are no barriers to coming to him. And that was especially the case for children, as we read here. But we know in the Gospels that Jesus didn't want there to be barriers to anyone coming to him. He worked long days and met with many people. And he says he wants us to receive it like a little child. And I think as we think about that, I think about that picture again. Because as that child comes running to its parent, it doesn't stop to think, well, is this a good idea? And it doesn't perform a risk assessment to know whether it might trip on the path, but the child runs and knows that it finds goodness through those open arms. And indeed, it is through that faith that simply comes running that blessing is brought. But I want to turn to what's meant by kingdom of God, because Jesus references it and says that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, and unless they receive the kingdom of God like a little child, they'll never enter it. Jesus says it can be entered by faith. Now the Bible teaches us that God made the world, that God made people, and he wanted to relate to those people. The people who he made, it says, in his image, like him. He wanted to have a relationship. And God gave the people choice. He said, have free will. Choose what you do. Choose whether you're in relationship with me or whether you're not. And pretty quickly, they used that choice to decide to ignore God's ways. And that progressed to ignoring him altogether. They chose to leave the authority to leave the kingship, to leave the kingdom of God and go their own way. And the problem was that it was actually a one-way ticket. To leave the kingdom meant leaving the blessing. It meant leaving and running away instead of running into the open arms, running away from them. And that was a choice. But fortunately, God had a plan all along. A plan that said, even if they've run in the wrong direction, I want there to be a way back. A way that they will still come to me. And that plan was costly. We might even say risky. As he wrote himself into the world's story and came in the person of Jesus. And just now at Easter, just gone, we've remembered the story, haven't we? That Jesus came and died and then he beat death and he came back to life. He rose again and he opened the way back to the arms of God through faith in himself. And so in these six children's pictures, we've captured together the entire essence of the Christian message. The kingdom of God message. What Jesus talked about. Coming with faith. Coming like a little child would. To receive and say, yes, I want to know the blessing. And so in knowing that kingdom of God message, that's the message that we want to share with Hannah and help Simon and Rachel to. I'm grateful to Rose, who read for us just earlier that story that you've hopefully heard before, the story that we call the Lost Son. And it's too good a message for us not to touch on today as well, because it's a great reminder to those of us who are parents that actually we need to keep forgiving our children and keep welcoming them back with gracious generosity, however big the insult is that they might throw at us. And yes, Hannah, full of sweetness and light just at the moment, I regret to say there will be many times when Simon and Rachel, you are called upon to offer that forgiveness that is sometimes challenging and difficult to do. I speak from experience. But there is, of course, more here to this story, because the story of the lost son is part of three stories. The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. Three together to emphasize the message. The message that God is Father, and he is delighted to find those that are lost. That he is waiting with open arms, looking out for his children to come home, to bless them again. Now, our summary word for all of this, as we complete our mandatory training, I hope that wasn't too painful for you, is grace. And I note that Hannah's name does mean grace of God. And as we reflect on our responsibilities to Simon and Rachel and to Hannah, as well as on our own choices, I'm going to use as my closing words those of a writer, someone called Philip Yancey, who's written in his must-read book, What's So Amazing About Grace, about this very story that we've just looked at now. We are accustomed to finding a catch in every promise. But Jesus' stories of extravagant grace include no catch, no loophole disqualifying us from God's love. How different are these stories from my own childhood notions about God? A God who forgives, yes, but reluctantly. After making the penitent squirm, I imagined God as a distant, thundering figure who prefers fear and respect to love. But Jesus tells instead of a father, publicly humiliating himself by rushing out to embrace a son who has squandered half the family fortune. there is no solemn lecture. Instead, Jesus tells of the Father's exhilaration. "This my Son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." What blocks forgiveness is not God's reticence, but our own. While he was still a long way off, his Father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. God's arms are always extended.